Yeah, so since you brought it up, let's talk about it. So I had tweeted out and retweeted on the Limelight Alpha account yesterday. I learned kind of an interesting lesson. So I've owned this ETF, Todd. If you could actually pull up the chart for MJ, that would be awesome.
Absolutely.
So this is a cannabis ETF that I've owned for a little over a year. I actually thought it was longer than a year, but Fidelity tells me I bought it in 2020. So okay. And I owned not a ton. And I had bought it at, gee, I don't know, 16, 15 a share.
Yeah, I mean,
And
it looks like that probably would have been either early last year, mid last year, or late last year. You were kind of pumping into those areas.
So I bought it at around 15 or 16, and it had been a laggard in my portfolio for a long time. And then obviously with the election in November, and then more importantly, the Democratic Senate majority from that special election in Georgia was in January. As you can see, it's gone to the moon since then.
Yeah, what was it? The first week of January was the election results were issued. You can see where the stock is here at 17, and it's already moved up 70% from where it was last fall. And you probably had a lot of people saying, well, the news is out, it's all done. You and I actually did a show where we talked about the winners and losers
We
at
did.
Georgia. So listeners, go back and you can listen to that show where we talk about marijuana as having some pretty big tailwinds now, based upon that decision. So you've now gone from 17, just interrupting you shortly there, Joe, going from 17 up to 31. So if you
Right.
thought you missed it, you hadn't missed it. You
So
could literally have bought that day.
was the lesson that I learned yesterday morning. I was looking at the chart before the market opened. It was sitting at about 26, 26 and a half. And I had looked at the way it had moved in the previous couple of days. And a lot of times what you'll see is, especially with a really volatile stock or an ETF. Side note, I think it's remarkable that this ETF with 30 or 40 different holdings has spiked up as much as it has in the past few weeks. Anyway, I looked at it was at 26 or 26.50. So at that point I was up at least 50%, and it was at its all-time high. And I've been really hesitant to buy stuff at all-time highs. It doesn't quite seem right to me. You know, what if there's no proof that it can maintain that price? So I decided to kind of counter my usual logic, and I expanded my position yesterday morning at market open, got in at about 27, and ended the day up 8.5% on that investment, aside from my initial position. Now, the next day, it's fluctuating right now between 8 and 8.5%. So now I'm up between 16 and 17% on that initial investment. So yeah, patting myself on the back a little bit. But the reason why I bring it up is not to brag, but to really put forth a great lesson that I just learned about buying. And so I wanted to kind of expand this into a general sort of discussion about buy strategy, because I know there are folks out there like me who see whatever stock it might be, whether it's one of these cannabis stocks or honestly anything. This applies to anything. This applies to the SPY, this applies to gold, this applies to Bitcoin. So I think a lot of people out there are hesitant to buy when there's no track record of support at an all-time high. So how do you suggest, Todd, that people kind of overcome that hurdle?
Yeah, this is the natural progression and development as an investor, right, Joe? I mean, this is the natural progression. I mean, this is typically speaking in the life cycle of an investor, you start out thinking, oh, I've got to buy things cheap, right? I got to buy things on sale, and that's the best way for me to make some money is to buy things on sale, buy things that are cheap, right? So the
Especially when you're young and you're working off of very little capital.
right. So you think to yourself, okay, I'm either going to buy. These are mistakes that we learn and we evolve out of. But you say to yourself, okay, I'm going to buy a cheap stock, as in price, oh, I'm going to buy penny stocks, right? Or you say to yourself, I'm going to buy a cheap stock in PE ratio. So you say, oh, the price divided by the earnings, look, it's only trading at 3x earnings. The problem with that is it fails to understand that PE ratios are, there's two different components of that, the price of the earnings, right? And oftentimes the price leads the earnings, right? People ferret out that a company's in trouble and start moving away from that company, which makes the PE ratio fall because it's based on trailing earnings. That's why in our research model, we always look at forward earnings projections, right? But even those are slow to drop. So then the bad news starts to trickle through into the business. The fundamentals start to deteriorate. And guess what happens to that P ratio? It starts to climb.
Yep.
It doesn't climb, but the P ratio starts to climb because there's less earnings, right? So these are all part of these things that we learn. Now, what you embraced with that purchase of MJ here is you embraced that kind of William O'Neill study and Stan Weinstein, some of these other really famous investors who've gone back and actually crunched the data to find out, no, not what I think or anecdotally may give me the best return, but what does the data tell me? And invariably, the data told them that when you're much better focusing on stocks that are breaking out to new highs than you are trying to buy lows or pick lows or bottom fish or whatever. It makes you, the win rate is substantially better. Now you have to balance, and this is the next part of that evolution. You have to balance not only the buying of new highs, but knowing when to buy those new highs, right? And also putting risk controls in place so that, because 50% of breakouts to new highs fail. I think that's important to remember.
Yep.
The 50% that work, that make you a boatload of money. So the key here is to eliminate the ones that don't work relatively quickly, right? And let those ones that do work mature to some point. And from O'Neill's studies, the mature point was 20% from the breakout. So if it moved 20 to 25% above the breakout that we call the pivot level, then that would be a point that, where you could start to rein in risk. I think Stan Weinstein, in his book, he was talking about when you get a vertical move, like we're seeing now. I left this chart up because I wanted to show this. So if you're on YouTube, you're seeing this. If you're not on YouTube and you're listening to Anchor, you can view the charts by going to our page, Limelight Alpha page on YouTube. When you get verticals like this, especially, who was it? Marty Schwartz talked about, I think, three moves up and then you start to get nervous of a pullback. So you don't want to be buying on that third day of that rally. So maybe you're not buying it today. Maybe today you're just sitting on your hands and you're saying, okay, I'll let's see if it back and fills a little bit. You've got some gaps to fill down into the low 20s. Who knows? It may not go down that far. But if you get a down 5% day, that's typically what I use, Joe, is I say, okay, if there's a stock that screens high in our research that's had kind of this big spike move up and I'm not involved in it, but I want to get involved in it, I add to my watch list. And when I see it down 5%, all things else considered equal, right? Depending on the market. If we're in a market uptrend, it would down 5% on a stock that's been running. That's just simply profit taking.
Yes.
Profit taking. So I'm willing to buy other people's profit taking in a good stock, right? So you're saying to yourself, I want to book some of this because I've made a lot of money fast, which is totally fine if that's what you choose to do, right? I'd be looking at it as not owning it and saying, if Joe's booking it, fine, I'll take advantage of that dip because he's booking it to buy it and see if I can make the next run up. So I wouldn't be buying today because of the third spike up and how vertical this chart is. Another stock that I actually own, I'm up 1,700% now, Joe, in this. 1,700 in a year.
Oh,
in
my year, gosh.
In March, I think I bought it in early 2020 at 10. Fulgent Genetics, it's a genomics play. They expanded the revenue significantly last year because they pivoted to be able to do COVID testing for a lot of municipalities and universities and the like. And as a result, the earnings shot through the moon, the revenue shot up 883% year over year last quarter, which is a stupid numbers, right? And people now, because this is a very thinly traded, it only trades, I think the float is like 13 million share float, very small compared to something like, say, you know, NVIDIA, which has 588 million shares floating. So there's not a lot of liquidity out there. So you look at Fulgent, you say, wow. So again, would I be a buyer here? No, I would wait. So you look at this big move, 1, 2, 3, 4 spikes up, right? And then pulled back almost the entire move, flagged out a little bit, pennant, and then boom, back out again. So you kind of look at that and you say, okay, well, I don't need to buy the spike. I can wait. And we'll show some other examples. I'll show some other examples because, you know, you wanted to see some ideas of, okay, how do you you know, buy entry? So this is a stock that's been very high scoring in our research for a while, right? And again, if you're on listening, I'll do my best on the podcast. If you're listening on Spotify or Apple or one of these other great platforms, I'll do my best to try and walk you through it. But we're looking at the chart of Digital Turbine, APPS. So Apple, Peter, Sam. And this is a company that kind of, it allows for the monetization of apps on smartphones. And they're also getting into a little bit of the over-the-top advertising as well. So you talk about the 5G upgrade cycle, people tossing out their phones, getting new phones in. That's a great opportunity for Digital Turbine service to be able to help for the discoverability of new apps and stuff and capture revenue from those developers by enabling this. And you can see that the stock obviously has run up substantially from $14 a share last summer to $88 where we sit today. One of the things that I will always look at, and you'll notice on my chart, right? If you're looking at my chart, there's three trend lines I have under here, Joe. I have a 200-day, I have a 50-day, which is the red line, and I have the 21-day, which is the green line. So what I typically do in something like this is say, and I happen to be long this stock, I didn't look to see when I bought it, but I want to make sure everybody knows that I am talking my own book here. I do own this stock. So what I would be looking at here isn't necessarily to buy it on the breakout above a huge number, but to see if it pulls back to one of these key levels. Oftentimes, you'll find that stocks will find support, buyers will emerge and support the stock once it retreats to one of these levels. So story first, why do I like Digital Turbine? Because of the 5G upgrade cycle, right? That's my story first. So that's my thesis, right? The reason I want to own this company is because of that upgrade cycle, right? So then I'm using these technical levels to try and figure out my entry points and my exit points, right? So what I'd be looking at here is if I'm interested in the stock, I'm looking to see if I can buy it either at the 21-day or at the 50-day. And you can't, don't try to nail it right on, allow wiggle room on either side of these moving averages. Because as you'll see in these charts that I'm going to pull up, they will undercut the 21 and then hold the 50, or they'll undercut the 50 and they'll hold the 200, right? So again, that's another reason why I like to stair step into stocks, especially if they've been big movers, right? Big move, maybe I'm taking 1% of my 3% position that I like to do for starter positions. I'm taking 1% when it pulls back to the 21, 1% when it pulls back to the 50, 1% when it pulls back to the 200, and then I'm full, and then I'll put my risk control underneath the 200. Or conversely, if it holds the 21 and rallies, I'll either add as it's starting to rally or as it rallies off that 21 and pulls back, has another down day, I'll add at that point. So I'll just continue to watch for those down 5% days as it's moving its way up and up and up that chart. And you can see on this by looking at Digital Turbine, how you know you held the 21 day here, but then failed, but held above the 50, recovered the 21, rallied, stayed above the 21, all the way up from 20, you know, from probably 30 to 42, retreated all the way, undercut slightly the 50 day, rallied back to, that was like 25, great entry, back to 43, back to the 21 day, back to 50, held the 21 day ever since, a slight undercuts a couple times from 60 to 80. So that kind of gives you, that's one example of that. Another example would be stock we talked about last week, ServiceNow. ServiceNow is another stock that's been, again, same thing. You break out, bust out to the new high, break out at from 390 to 450, that was probably on earnings, digest back to the 21 day, undercut slightly, rally, undercut, hold the 50 day, rally, undercut slightly the 50, rally, undercut slightly the 50, rally, undercut slightly the 50, rally. So you can see where you can, if you're not sure where to enter a story stock, this makes it very systematic for you. It takes a lot of the guesswork out because you can say to yourself, I'm just going to look at these levels that stocks tend to find support at, and I'm going to take advantage of those and buy at those levels. Another stock that's a good example, that is 2-6 Incorporated, which we talked about a few months ago as well, IIVI. They make lasers and stuff that's useful in helping to automate stuff like autonomous driving and everything else. So IIVI is the symbol there. And you can see how once this stock held its 200-day, right, rallied above the 50-day, pulled back to the 21-day, jump, escalate, retest 21, hold. This is actually beautiful because it's holding above the 21 each time. There's just so much pent-up demand to buy this stock. Every time it pulls back, people are coming in and buying it. And again, held again on the most recent move. And now the stock has gone from last November, 50 bucks to almost 100. So those are a few examples of how I approach when our research kicks out a name. I'll then come up with my catalyst. I'll do my due diligence. I'll figure out what my catalysts are, what my thesis is. Then I'll say, okay, do I want to buy it at the market right now? If it's near one of these key touch points, yes. If it's not, I add it to my watch list. And if we get a down 5% day, or we hit one of these touch points, roughly, then I'll go ahead and I'll take my swing.